Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hello, welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pichet, today filling in for Jeannie Rice, and we're here to talk about Aramaic forgiveness with Michael. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that will put you in the queue to talk to Michael and share your comments or questions about the process of forgiveness. Today is December 31st, the last day of 2014, and enjoy our show today with Michael. How are you doing on the road, Michael?
Hey, we're rocking along, blessed and highly favored, and all things moving forward. We've packed up our new van and our new used van. We're heading out of Fort Walton Beach, actually just going through Destin, on our way to Central Florida. We'll be in Tampa, St. Petersburg, probably by sometime tomorrow. We're going to make a stop and check out. Actually, we have a young lady who's a friend of ours in Branson that you know very well. And she's asked us to check out a property she's looking at in Apalachicola. So we're going to get to visit Apalachicola and move on down the road. We may spend the night there and kind of get acquainted with that town a little bit. And one of the things on my mind today is appreciation. As I was listening to that the intro music that we've got, a young lady named Mary Redonti about 3 years ago came to a week-long series of Why workshops that we did. And she came to this Sunday, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And on Monday, she said, you know, I wrote a song about your work. And I said, well, that's interesting. And she said, well, you know, would it be all right if I played it? And a couple days later, she came in and had this awesome piece of music written that incorporates, you know, a lot of the key ideas from the work. If you want to listen to the whole song, you can go to our website, whyagain.org. And I believe it's on the front page, isn't it, Jeannie? Has a link right on the front page. Anyway, it's a great piece of music, and much appreciation to Mary for writing that. And it was kind of fun. By Friday night, she brought her guitar and played the whole song for us. And within a couple of weeks, it was recorded, and she gave us permission to use it as an intro for our show and for some of our programs. And I'm just thinking that our new "Why Is This Happening to Me Again?" video, maybe we want to put that in there, although we were looking at some different music. In any event, thank you, Mary Redonti. That's an awesome piece of work. Thank you to everyone who chooses to engage in this work and who chooses to hold the space. It's pretty awesome. We're getting ready to go into our fifth year. This will be year 5 coming up of our radio show, which means we've probably got, I don't know, 200 or so days a year for 4 years in the radio archives. So there's got to be a good 800 or 900 hours in there that you can go to and listen to free. And we've covered just about every topic that has anything to do with this work. And every question, every issue, just everything from, you know, the drama and trauma, financial trauma, relationships. Literally one woman who was dealing with her fear of being murdered. You know, I mean, we've just hit the whole gamut of non-human and human experience. And, of course, our work is that of continuing to support people and moving out of the non-human experience, which is the experience based in hostility and fear, and literally, really, truly moving to a human experience, whatever's going on in our worlds. And as we move more deeply into that human experience, and we can inspire more people to move into that experience. And, of course, our definition of a human experience comes from holding a newborn child. If you hold a newborn child, you get a taste of what human life is. If you don't have one of those, then we invite you to hang around this work long enough to build the brain cells to undo the brainwash of the culture that says rage and guilt and grief and fear and hatred and vengeance and sadness and, oh, life isn't worth living, or life is the pits, or, you know, we've been in a hotel the last few days, and so we've been watching a little bit of television. And it's amazing to just sit and flip the channels. And on one channel, you know, you've got this cop who's all excited about dragging somebody off to jail. And the next channel, you've got this detective who's working on another murder. And you next it to the next channel, and you've got this sports hero who's been caught beating on his kids or his wife. And you turn to the next channel, and the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And you get a view of what people call entertainment in this culture. And you see the brainwash that fills people with their people's minds with what they focus on. And, you know, probably one of the most important teachings that Yeshua put forward is how the creative process works. And the provincial minds who dismiss him, like, you know, number one, maybe he never existed, and if he did, what he thought was just garbage anyway, have no clue, no clue the depth and the import of what he taught. And I'm not talking about religion. You know, probably one of the greatest atrocities done to us as human beings down through the ages, and I'm talking about human beings as the active presence of love that we're designed to be, is that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are by nature creators. If you talk to a modern day physicist, they'll tell you that what they've proven is matter is frozen light. What is it that freezes the light? Well, if you listen in the physics world, they'll tell you about the observer effect. If you listen to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, the physicist Yeshua said, "Let thine eye be single, and thy body will be filled with light." Your eye is not your physical eye, but rather, in that case, it is your perception, your awareness, your mind, your consciousness. What are you aware of? And if you fill it with a singular focus, and if your focus is the drama and trauma that comes through that stranger that sits in your living room, and you just suck in that energy, and that's your focus, it's no wonder your life is operating the way that it's operating. Because focusing is a creative act. When Yeshua says, "Let thine eye be single, and thy body will be filled with light," he's a physicist telling you, here's how you create. And if your focus is your disease, your disorder, your pain, your trauma, or the disease, disorder, pain, trauma of the world, then your body is going to be filled with it. It will become part of your physiology. And what we're here to hold the space for is to recognize that. Last night we did the Naturopathic Keys to Health workshop at Fort Walton Unity. And the gist or the opening point of Naturopathic Keys is that unless your physiology is plugged into what it's designed to be plugged into, and that is human life, then you're in a diseased condition. And you can't have high-level wellness without having a proper power supply running your physiology. You know, there's nobody that has a device anywhere in their office, in their shop, in their home, in their car, that if they unplug that device from its power supply, works really well. Such a device doesn't exist. Your body-mind unit is no different. How many minutes in your life, how many hours out of your 24-hour day have you, throughout the period of your life, spent unplugged from love? If it's been significant, then you've got significant disease going on in your physiology. If you want to be empowered to heal, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to choose to make staying connected to your human life, functioning as a human, which Yeshua said that the first law, when they said to him, you know, what's most important in all this stuff you're telling us? He says, you must maintain a condition called rachma in your mind, which is the gateway through which human life enters. First order of business. Now, if you think it's more important that your spouse do this or your child do that or your, you know, your acquaintance do this or your enemy do that, and you disconnect, then by that focus, you create the energetic dynamics that become your cellular structure. That's just the way it works. You know, you listen to Bruce Lipton, cell biologist. One of the videos we carry is an interview that was done by a television interviewer up in New York. When I went through, when I was interviewed by this guy after the interview, he asked me, he said, huh? Do you know Bruce Lipton? You know, he's doing the same work you are. He's a cell biologist. It's like, really, a cell biologist doing the same work I am? I don't think so. And he handed me his video, and it was just like mind-boggling to hear what this cell biologist is saying. And, you know, the bottom line, it, he's offering that what they've proven in the laboratory is that when you think a thought, that thought becomes a neuropeptide, a literal molecule within your structure. And that molecule, through focus and the continuous production of that quality of molecule, circulates around in your structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that is a match. And then it attaches itself to the receptor site. Now, when the cell biologists are explaining it, they're saying that then the cell replicates the neuropeptide. I don't believe that the cell replicates the neuropeptide. I think that what is actually happening is that when the cell lands on the receptor site, it is inserting a part of itself, a very small fragment of itself, into the cell. And with our limited senses, we call that little tiny frequency that we see in the cell chemistry. And so if you want to destroy your cellular structure, then just keep going with the culture. Stay focused in the rage, the guilt. You know, sit in front of that TV and suck in every bit of hostility, fear, grief, rage, terror, trauma, sympathy that you can. And I can guarantee what the result's going to be, creator. And if you found yourself creating something that all of a sudden you go, oops, I'd rather be done with this one, then you're going to have to make some new choices rather than going by the decisions of your mind and the decisions of your generations. You're going to have to practice and utilize, bring into expression the faculty of choice so that when your decision-making mind, which is a reflection of your generational patterns, says, oh, this is worth hostility. Oh, this is worth feeling bad about. Oh, this is worth some grief. Oh, you should rage at this one, man. This one's a real doozy. What they just did to you, man, they deserve your rage. And when the generational patterns say that, your decision-making mind will lead you there. If you have not yet overcome your decision-making mind, then I know what's happening in your physiology. And as you choose, I love how the Course in Miracles says it over and over, choose once again, and sometimes you'll have to choose 30 times a minute. Because that old decision-making process that's happening in the cell that comes from those old neuropeptides is going to keep firing until you've removed it, until it no longer exists within your structure. And when it no longer exists when it's in your structure, I don't care what your disease is going to disappear because your disease isn't physical. There is no physical. You have an energy system. Let thine eye be single. What has your culture? What has your family system? What has your sex? You know, women are taught to focus in an arena. Men are taught to focus in an arena. What has your sex taught you to focus on? What have those who've trained you about relationships taught you to focus on? And your mind holds, your physiology holds, mind energy, neuropeptides showing up as chemistry in the cell, that will tend to keep you locked into the good old family feeling and perpetuate it. Now, you know, in one generation, people have a constitution. People say, well, you know, why is it that one person in the family gets a disease and another one doesn't? Well, some people have a constitution that they can do a lot of violation of the integrity of their cell before the cell dives, makes a nosedive into some sort of degenerative condition. Other people are so burdened from the get-go that it's easy for them to drop into that disease process. And I say this because I speak from experience. When I was born, my father was called and notified at work, you better get there because I wasn't going to survive the night. And the first year of my life, four or five times, I was rushed to the hospital because I was imminently dying. I was on the verge of death. And for 25 years, I lived on an inhalator and pills. I know what it is to move into stress and have the cell start to respond with disease and disorder. I lived on an inhalator and pills. When I was a kid in school, the first week of school, just about every year, I was in an oxygen tent in a hospital. And after about 25 years of treatment with the use of chemicals that were supposed to fix me, I realized I'm not being fixed by this. Yes, is it a crutch that's helping me to survive and get through it? Yes. But what I realized was, by treatment, by inflicting more chemical damage on my cells, while the chemical damage produced an amelioration of symptoms, it never uplifted the cell out of its diseased state. And I realized that I needed to learn to change the focus of my mind. Let thine eye be single, and thy body will be filled with light. And fortunately, I found the original Aramaic teachings of Yeshua and came to understand that forgiveness means removal. If you have 1,000 generations that have put all kinds of hostility and fear into the structure and into different parts of the body, then, you know, understand that those parts of the body become diseased not because there is a physical disease in them, but rather that there are energetic patterns that create the chemistry that deteriorate the cell. The energetic patterns in the ancient Aramaic were called sin. And sin in Aramaic is an archery term, and it speaks about an energy that's off mark. When they said the wages of sin is death, that was not some illogical threat God's going to get for your sin. It means that as you engage in frequencies that don't belong, you create chemistry in the cell that doesn't belong. You do enough of that, and the cells begin to fall apart. Enough cells fall apart, and the structure can't survive. We're getting ready, you know, it's New Year's Eve. We're getting ready to finish out the old year. And I just invite everybody to think in terms of what kinds of frequencies have inhabited your mind. This is the key to it all. What kind of frequencies have inhabited your mind through this last year and all the years of your life? What has your focus been? What has your eye been single upon? Has it been single upon making sure you get the right kind of stuff so you look good? Has it been single upon making sure you've got enough money that you're safe and secure, as though money could possibly make you safe and secure? Has it been focused on how there's somebody that's always out there that's the problem in your life? If so, then I invite you to begin to reverse your thinking and make a New Year's resolution. And the New Year's resolution is to begin to truly recognize that you are, you created being, are the active presence of love. If anybody has ever told you, or you have errantly concluded differently, recognize you've become trapped in a lie, and your lie becomes your physiology. Candace Pert, former head of brain bio research at the National Mental Institute of Health, says that emotions are molecules that can kill or cure. when you begin to bring in the energy that reflects out of the mind energy of a human life, out of a human being, and that's your focus, then you bring in the frequencies of aliveness, of health, of wholeness. And so the invitation is to enter into the dual path. And the dual path here is that a significant part of your work is going to be the removal of the frequencies that have become the frozen light in your physiology to date, which is the pinnacle of your whole bloodline. That's one part of the process. So engaging in that worksheet process, the activity of forgiveness and removing what never belonged. And then look at step four in the latest worksheet, and in step four is the other half of the practice. And that is taking time on a daily basis to spend time in the space of recognizing who you are. You are the awesome active presence of love. You are the offspring of the Creator. You are the offspring of love. And just like the offspring of a dog is a dog and the offspring of a cat is a cat, the offspring of love is love. It's what you're designed for. So spending time every day for you to be focused in that arena, and as that focus is powerfully engaged in, to forgive everything that is less than that is the New Year's resolution that I offer, is probably most important for every person on the planet. And so that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to learn as well as to teach. And so we appreciate the fact that you join us, and that on this holy day, you know, it's interesting how the culture's changed holy days to holidays. It's about, hey, have we got enough booze in the fridge? Is there enough beer? Is there enough whiskey? We're going to have a party tonight. You know, it's New Year's Eve. We're going to get drunk. We're going to get so senseless that we don't have to feel what we've been doing to ourselves all year. And we're going to call that having fun. Hello? Anybody home in there? Tell you what, why don't you try New Year's Eve that's focused in centering in the active presence of love. Have a party. Gather people. And invite those people to join you in spending the opening of the new year in functioning as a human being rather than getting so drugged out of one's mind that they don't even remember what happened. Being so drugged out of one's mind that they don't remember what happened isn't fun. It's unconsciousness. And people who create unconsciously create disease and disorder at every turn. And so I join you in a New Year's resolution, and that is that your focus for this evening, for your party this evening. And, you know, if you're going to a party where you know that everybody else is going to be getting snockered, you know, ask yourself the question, why am I doing that? Is that what I really want to do? Do I want to spend my time around people who are slobbering drunk and spewing out whatever it is they're spewing out? Or would I rather start my new year in this space and kick it off in a way that it's about being the active presence of love? And being of a clear and sober mind. You know, the ancient scriptures say, if you were given a clear mind, a strong mind, and our appropriate. Our invitation, that's our support. And Michelle, have we got Dr. Tim with us today?
He is here. Hi, Dr. Tim.
Hello, Michelle. Hello, Michael.
Hey there. How do you see?
I'm doing well. Michael, you're breaking up just a little bit in the last sentence or two, so are you actually driving? Are you driving? All right. Can't hear him. Michelle, can you hear him? Are you there, Michelle?
I'm here, Dr. Tim. Apparently Michael's still connected, so I'm not sure, maybe he's on mute.
Okay, well.
No, I'm here.
Okay, we got you. But you have been fading
okay, we
out.
We must have switched numbers there and lost signal.
Oh, okay, so you're driving. All right, well.
Yes.
Well, I'm doing quite well. We had another phenomenal group last night. We had, as I have said time and again on this internet show and other places where I talk about this, we had a very loving group of people who gathered on the week of between Christmas and New Year's instead of sitting in front of the television or going out and drinking. And they gathered to support each other in learning more about these tools and how to presence love. And we watched the first half of the video, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And then we had a discussion. We had a brand new person who's never been there before. And we had somebody who had some serious questions about how do I move everything out of the realm of unconscious beliefs. How do I go in and empty out that file completely so nothing comes up and snags me anymore? And so we discussed a little bit about the concept of trying to storm the gates and just doing the work one piece at a time, and a couple ideas about creating a series of mind shifters if he really wanted to do lots and lots of work. But then the key concept being to stay focused within himself, very focused within himself as he goes through his life each day, and notice when he gets triggered, because that's exactly the thing he needs to work on in that moment. It's not a problem with what someone or something outside of him did. It's his alarm system telling him, hey, Tim, look over here. Here's a problem that's coming up in your energy system for you to heal, for you to integrate, for you to transmute from this energy that's less than love into the energy of your true nature, which is love. So we had that discussion, and then we had one of our regular members who has done a phenomenal series of work over the past few years, and she had a huge piece come up since the last time she was in the group, and she asked for support to do a worksheet on that. And she did that worksheet and tapped into cross-generational issues and had the Hydra effect come up, because as soon as she specified what she was going to do the worksheet on and what her initial goal was, then she saw a host of other worksheets she needed to do, various emotions on the same theme and the same goal, and then different goals. And she got a powerful insight when she did the release that allowed her to see her part in the pattern, the cross-generational pattern. And I think it gave her some really good places to focus to begin changing her part. And most importantly, to sit back and recognize how much phenomenal work she has already done and how she's already interrupted this pattern. And she got some wonderful feedback from other people in the group, which just used her own words and fed them back to her so she could see she's describing the evidence of how the pattern has already changed. And it was a wonderful thing. And one of the other unusual things about the worksheet was that as she was discussing it to outline it and saying, I really don't know where to start or what to do, in her conversation, she stated a beautiful, loving goal for herself within her family structure, and that became the start point for the worksheet. So uncharacteristically, instead of starting with number 1A and putting her name in and putting what she's feeling, we helped her by just, because she so clearly stated a goal, I just want dot, 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 and it was positively stated, and it was a beautiful place to start, and then we went to the top of the worksheet and filled in all of the details, which was another good example for everybody in the group about how to do a worksheet when you're kind of stymied about what the thought is and what the emotion is. And so it was, you know, just a delight to be there to support that group and the loving people that come there and give of themselves, give of their energy, give of their time, give of their love to support each other. And it was just a fabulous way to wrap up another wonderful year in that group.
That's so awesome, Tim. And I think it reinforces the idea that the radio shows where you, where Jeannie, where I have walked people through the worksheets process are so valuable. You know, if people go to the website, to wygen.org, and click the bullseye, the third link under the bullseye opens, when you click on it, opens to, I don't know, 14 or 15 different radio shows. And to take the time, each of those shows is an hour long, to take the time and listen really just engages and covers a tremendous number of nuances on the worksheet that, you know, an individual could spend years doing worksheets and not uncover or come to understand each nuance that they would understand from listening to those radio shows. And so I encourage people to jump on the website. They're free MP3s. You can just click on them and listen on your computer or your phone, or you can right-click on them, save them, and put them on your phone or whatever, and just listen and build the brain cells for the nuances. And what will happen is, as you build those brain cells, you'll come to a new level. As you say, this person's done a lot of work, and here's a whole new space that opens. And that's the way this this forgiveness process grows and happens. It's just amazing.
Well, and I have to put in a plug for that, because I was unable to be on the show yesterday because of my taking advantage of an opportunity to do some work for the Ruka group, which had to happen through that time slot. And so middle of the night, after getting home and calming down from the emotional energy that I was processing after the group, and I woke up at like 3 a.m. and I turned on my phone and listened to the show from yesterday. And you know, it's a fabulous resource. Now, on the mobile device, I must say, I still have to contact Blog Talk again, because they're still having the difficulty where it cuts me off somewhere about halfway through the show. But having that as a resource has been a wonderful tool for me. I use it on a regular basis. I'll go back and listen to a show I missed or one that I really enjoyed, especially those Fridays throughout the year with Dale Allen Hoffman. It's been a real treasure to go back and listen to some of those again.
Well, we're hoping that somebody will show up who has control of their Saturdays and wants to support the work. You know, I assume in listening to that you heard the suggestion that Julie made that we replay Aramaic Fridays. And if we had somebody who would dedicate themselves to, they don't have to even be there for the whole show, but who would open the show and get the show started, then we would have Saturdays, and actually we could do Sundays too, to do repeats of some of those shows. So we do have that time slot available, and then we'd have a 7-day-a-week radio show. It just wouldn't be a live call-in show on Saturday and Sunday. But anyway, I just put that out again as a request. If there's somebody who says, you know, we it's interesting. We hear from lots of people who say, oh, man, this is so cool, man. I'd really like to do this work. And then you invite them to actually do something, and it's like, oh, well, actually, you know, I really didn't mean it at all. I lied. I'm not interested in supporting it. I just like to talk about it. It's like, okay, well, that's cool too. But it's just interesting how many people are wannabes, but when they get the opportunity, you know, jumping on board and actually committing themselves and looking at issues of commitment is another story. So.
Well, I did not hear that portion of the show because, as I mentioned, it cut off about halfway through. But I will give that some thought and put that into the, you know, the last time we had talked about that, it was about having a live show. The idea just starting it and having the archives ready and having them lined up, that's an interesting idea. Now I'll give some thought.
I think it would be a good, if somebody would jump in, you know, somebody would volunteer to do that, or a team of people who coordinate with each other. Gee, I'll do it the first and second, you know, Saturday of the month or Sunday of the month, and somebody else's, and, you know, of course it would have to be reliable, because if we're going to put it out there, we definitely want to make sure that the show is there. But when the archives are being replayed, as I understand it, all that has to happen is the show needs to be dialed into by the host, and the archive needs to be started, and then it's on its own. It all takes care of itself from there. So anyway, if anybody feels inclined to be of service to the work, that would be awesome, and it would give us another way of supporting people through the weekends. So, Michelle, my belle, how do you be, young lady?
I'd be fine. I'm excited that it's the last day of the year and that we're having the show live today and get to kind of do a review over the year. I think this whole week there's been a little bit about the physical health aspects of Aramaic forgiveness, and in the chat room we've been kind of talking about that, and I'm looking at who's here, and we've all had different levels of healing crises in our body, and so your conversation is quite right on time.
Well, we certainly hold the space and support you. I know that you've been going through some layers of opportunity to cleanse and go to a new level of your work, and you know, just know that this whole community from all over the globe is here to support you in that process.
Well, I do know that, and I appreciate it, and in some ways I'm excited about what you call an opportunity, because it's true. And when you were talking earlier about kind of breaking through the illusion, Rex had suggested a mind shifter for me. And earlier this week I was working this mind shifter that says, it is safe and healing for me to focus 100% of my energy, time, and money on me. I'm the most important person in the world. And
Yay
for Rex. That was a wonderful mind shifter. Because
good one, yeah.
Possible. And when you were talking earlier about women and their propensity to take on and nurture and care for and be about other people, that this was quite a challenge. I mean, I'm a therapist. I mean, I joke about making codependency into a career because I have a lot of focus on other folks. And so it was kind of like I said, Rex, what do you want me to, like, grow gills and start breathing water? Because that's how this concept is to me, that it's just so, like, elusive in terms of considering, because of the conditioning and the messages that I got about being selfish, or, you know, taking too much time for yourself, or there's something wrong, you know, with those
limits. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for another mind shifter?
Oh,
are you ready for another
mind
shifter?
Yeah, go on.
Cool, okay, so got your pen handy?
I do.
So it's easy and natural for me to convert my career of codependency into a career based in interdependency. It's easy and natural for me to do that.
It's easy and natural for me to convert my career of codependency into a career based in interdependency.
Yeah, because every minute spent in codependence means a minute spent hiding something inside myself that I don't want to look at. And when I move into interdependence, then I create relationships at every turn where it's safe for me to look at myself. It's safe to look at what's going on inside of me, and that I first and foremost get to look at me. And as you, you know, put forward that idea of women as nurturers, you know, men can be nurturers too. We can choose to do that. Many of us do. And I just support you that in including in that nurturing, include yourself, that you take care of you too, that you're part of that object of attention that deserves to be nurtured and supported and loved and cherished and honored and taken care of.
That's right. I won't be effective to take care of other people until I take care of myself. And
yeah,
that's the rub, because, you know, it's like doing the mirror exercises. Giving myself love in the mirror was okay, but receiving the love from my reflection was impossible.
Yeah, yeah. So if you change that thought?
That's what I'm working on. I'm just putting it out there that,
oh, cool,
this is what I'm up for. And to be honest, when you were talking about the Saturday, were you talking about 1 o'clock like the regular show is for Eastern Standard Time?
What we do, if we can get volunteers who will reliably begin the show on Saturday and Sunday, is that then we'd start to put it out that we have a 7-day-a-week show. Instead of Monday to Friday, we have a 7-day-a-week show. And that Saturday and Sunday would be replays, and move it forward.
Well, I can tell you right now, I'm up for that. When you were in Europe last year and Dr. Tim and I were doing the show for that 6 weeks, I remember, I don't know if I expressed it to him, but I said, Dr. Tim, this is so much fun. Like, let's do this on Saturdays and Sundays. They can do their week, and then we'll do the weekends. And, you know, it really didn't get further than that. But as far as what you've outlined in terms of how you want to replay some of the Aramaic Fridays, I think that would actually fit. When you talk about commitment, sometimes it's easier to make a commitment to other people than to myself. So if, you know, I make a commitment to you to do that part of it, it's going to benefit me tenfold because I'm engaged in the conversation. Each day I'm engaged in the conversation. I think that's what I notice is that every day, you're engaged in the conversation and it seems to build on itself, and that the weekends were almost like a letdown. And then, you know, you were sort of like, okay, I can't wait till Monday because I need to get back in the conversation. So I think there's a lot of value, and I'd be willing to do my part. You don't need to train me on the switchboard.
Right. Cool. Okay, well, we'll look at moving in that direction, and maybe if you and Tim, you know, have that conversation and wanted to do it, then maybe when it works for both of you to work together to do that, you could do it live as well. So you could, it wouldn't necessarily have to be an archive every time. So if you all wanted to do that, that would be cool.
So, yeah, count me in.
Okay, cool.
And Rex is listening too, and I don't want to hear it later about how, you know, one of his encouragements to me is to begin to focus some more time on myself and pull back on some of my commitments. So I think this is in a different category, though.
Well, this is a commitment to yourself, and he's right. And, you know, we've had that conversation before, and so maybe you three could be a team. To do that. I know that I had talked with Rex about it at one point, and because, you know, he's doing a lot of traveling and workshops, then, you know, the weekends are kind of tied for him too, but maybe on weekends when he's not, we could do a live show.
That'd be awesome.
Just a thought. All right. Very cool. Well, we haven't heard anything from Rex with the new year ending and the old year ending and the new year beginning. Rex, do you have anything to share with us, sir? How do you be?
You there?
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Hey, Happy New Year, young man. How do you be?
I'm doing great.
Good. Everything in your world moving in the right direction, I hope?
Everything is, whether I think it is or not.
Yay!
That's what I found. I have a tendency to try to make it in the past something different, and make it look like it's not moving in the direction as ideal. But that's the idea of when I've struggled with swimming up the river, and it just doesn't work real well.
Right. I hear you.
So it's just going with the flow and doing that well, and a lot of things adjusting. I had a session this morning, first thing. It was pretty cool to allow that to, you know, unfold like it did, and really looking at wrap up and what am I setting forth in my intentions for the year. And the one I am finding most prevalent is, what will it take for me to be the example of joy every minute of every day? And then setting in motion the willingness to do whatever it'll take.
Well, I join you in that one. That sounds right on track to me. Because that's certainly one of the attributes of life. You know, I forget who it was. It'll probably come to mind who put forward the quote. But joy is the infallible sign. The quote was, joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. And I edit that quote just a little bit, because if that were true, everybody would be in joy all the time, because we live, move, and have our being in that presence. I think one word needs to be added, and that is that joy is the infallible sign of the awareness of the presence of God. To recognize that we live, move, and have our being in this awesome, active presence of love, 24/7, 365, and when we let ourselves stay in awareness of it, transforms everything.
And it's, and in addition to that, I find that as I just allow myself to be aware of it, I recognize it's here all the time. I just don't put my awareness on it. And I move my awareness in a direction that's something contrary to the experience I'm potentially having of joy, even though it might be a painful experience I'm in the moment. And I keep reminding myself of any time that I'm a little off or off the mark, that I can shift the filters in my mind 25 times a second or more. And so it can happen really fast. So it's the vigilance and the diligence to be conscious and present in the being I am and allow that to express, and joy is the outcome. So I'm just using it as a guide to move, to support me staying connected in my awareness and recognize when I'm not.
Yeah, and I think to recognize that when we do bring that energy to awareness and hold it, that it's the energy that deletes, removes, forgives, eliminates every frequency, chemical, emotional, or otherwise, that doesn't belong in physiology. So,
absolutely.
Right on track. Yeah, cool.
And, Michelle, I would encourage you to stay focused on primary what you're working on right now, and that is wonderful addition that Mind Shifter Michael offered is excellent. And I think in conjunction, I would just be supporting you fully to really tune into that piece about you taking care of you first above everything else. And recognize how quickly and how you may set up circumstances where you are looking to do something different than that. Just to be aware.
No, I know. It did cross my mind, and when I saw you were listening, I already knew. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And Michael, he's working so hard to build new brain cells in me. It's adorable.
Well, it may look
like
and
working. You don't recognize that part of, you know, the beatitude. That says, blessed are the peacemakers, or at least the Greeks translate, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. In Aramaic, what it speaks about is that a latent neural structure implanted us by the Creator becomes our conscious possession when we, through service, effectively bring forward the peace and understanding under and in accord with God's will. And so, part of stepping in, and then what it says, and for those who do this will be the children of the Creator. We will function as the offspring of the Creator. And so part and parcel of that whole taking care of self is to fulfill the aspect of service along with it. And, you know, being centered and focused in our own nurturing and caring as we're centered and focused in the fact that we are part of a whole that needs support.
And it's an important clarification, Michael, because some people might tune into the program and say, God, what are they doing? They're talking about that she should just take care of herself, don't worry about anything else, and blah, blah, blah. It's more a matter of exactly what you were describing. In order for me to really, truly be of service, I must be aware of and take care of the needs of my physical, mental, emotional, spiritual bodies. And as I do that,
absolutely,
now I'm more fully available to be of service to all the rest of me. And that me is also included in all of creation. So very important, and that's good to be clear on that, because if I'm, you know, many of us have been learning, we've learned to apparently get our needs met and fulfill our goals through external, you know, means and by doing rather than being. And the key to being for me is that I recognize when I'm off the mark, I get back on the mark, and I'm clear and present in love and able to serve more wholly and fully, versus when I am, you know, having an issue and I'm not addressing it and I'm just thinking I can heal that issue through taking care of you, Michael, or taking care of anyone else, then I'm missing the point. So great clarification. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Beautiful. Awesome. Awesome.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody. It's wonderful to hear everyone. And I'm going to check out because I'm going to have a client in a few minutes here, and I'm going to grab a little bite to eat. And I'll be listening to the program, but we may have another caller or two that may have something to offer. My love and blessings.
Tell Missy we said hello. We send our love and hugs. And if you would put your arms around her and give her a big hug and kiss from Jeannie and I.
I certainly will do that, and she's at a birth, so she's bringing in a supporting a baby coming in. So she's doing that right now, and I heard from her recently. She's going to let me know how it's going, and I will do that.
Well, we hope space for that little new one coming in, too.
Absolutely.
All
wonderful,
right.
Wonderful. Blessings, everyone. Happy New Year.
All right, blessings for New Year, Rex.
Thank you.
646-200-4169 is our calling number. If you have a question or a thought for us, something you'd like to share, we've got about 5 minutes left, so we've got time for another caller. Anything happening in the chat room, Michelle, for us to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue? Are you with us, Michelle?
Sorry, I'm here. Peace is in the chat room, Angela, where he's sharing, kind of reiterating some of the ideas that we're talking about on the show. But nobody has a hand up right now.
Well, then I'll offer that for anyone who wants to take their work to the next level. On Sunday, we actually just added an extra event or series of events. On Sunday, we'll be at Unity in the Woods in Bradenton, Florida. There are two services in that Unity Center on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning and one at 11:30. And we're going to be doing a service called Coin of the Realm. And then from 1:30 till 5, we're actually going to do a potluck lunch. And then from 1:30 to 5, we'll be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So it'll be a free open workshop. You'll be welcome to come join us if you're in the Bradenton, Florida area, or you know anybody in Bradenton. Then I believe it's a week the following Sunday, we'll be doing a full 7-day series at Unity North in Tampa. The following week, we'll be doing another full 7-day series at Unity in St. Petersburg. And we're actually doing complimentary sets of workshops, seeing as how those two centers are so close together that people will be able to do a wider variety. Of course, we'll do the Why Is This Happening to Again on each Sunday, as we always do. but then we'll be doing a different series in Tampa that we'll be doing in St. Petersburg. So, and but it's in this that area, it'll be an opportunity to do 10, 12, 14 different workshops. So we'll be moving lots of energy in that arena. And then we'll be heading, if you want to follow our schedule, you can jump on the website, whyagain.org, and just look at the schedule and go to the flyers. You can download the flyer, print them off. There's a PDF there. We'll be doing a week in, actually, I think it's about 5 days of workshops we'll be doing at Universal Truth Center in Miami. Then we'll be at CSL, Center for Spiritual Living, in Fort Lauderdale. And we'll be at Unity in Pompano. Jeannie will be doing a 1 day. It actually starts on Friday night. It'll be an overnight, kind of like a pajama party, I guess, where the ladies are getting together, and she'll be doing the Healing the Whole Woman workshop that she does an all day. And so it'll start on Friday evening and end on Saturday evening. So any of you ladies that want to get an experience of how Jeannie approaches and teaches the work, she just holds an awesome space and is such a fabulous teacher. She uses lots of props and has a different approach to mine, so it's pretty cool to see her stepping out and doing that. And actually, she'll be doing a full 9-day intensive in April in Orlando. And concurrent with her 9-day intensive in Orlando, it's going to be a residential intensive. I'll be doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again. So we'll be doing concurrent 9-day intensives. We're anticipating there'll probably be some couples there where the gentleman will be in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and the lady will be in the Healing the Whole Woman, and or the ladies may be in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again with me, as appropriate, whatever folks choose to do. And once we each complete those concurrent 9-day intensives, we'll move right into teacher training. We'll be doing a new segment that we've never done before, a 3-day training on using the personal code evaluation, and then we'll move into a regular 9-day teacher training. So the prerequisite for the teacher training is either Healing the Whole Woman or the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again. So people can come and do the whole 20 days. Or there'll be some who'll come and just do the 9-day Why or the 9-day Healing the Whole Woman. If you've done a 9-day Why previously, that qualifies you to do teacher training, so you can do the 12 days or the 9 days. And that'll be in Orlando in April. So we're looking forward to that. It'll be the first time we've done this, and it will be the only teacher training we'll do this year. Normally we do it once a year at Heartland, but since we're doing it in April in Florida, it will be the only teacher training we'll do this year. And from there, we'll be actually getting on the road out of Orlando and heading to Atlanta. So if you're in any of those cities, we're going to be in Sebring, Florida. If you're in any of those cities or you know anybody who is that you think might benefit from participating in the work, we'd love it if you'd pass the flyer on. You can just take the flyer and download it to your computer, send it as an attachment, share it with somebody. And come and join us. We'd be delighted to have you there if you're ready to crank your work up to the next level. And beyond that, we're down to the last few minutes, so we'll just hold the space that as you're ready to let loose of whatever doesn't belong in your world, as you make the transition from the old year to the new year, that the old is just liberated and let loose of, forgiven. Anything that did not belong in part as part of a true human life that you may have been through, that it is forgiven from you, and that this new year really truly becomes the best year yet of your eternal life. And we hear from people all the time when they really truly engage in and start to do their work, how each year just gets better and better and better beyond imagination. So we invite you to really, truly engage in your work. If you haven't been involved in the forgiveness process yet, go to our website, whyagain.org, whyagain.org. Click the bullseye. There's a whole series of instructions on how to engage in the forgiveness process. We hold the space. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Love and blessings. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Sleep.